Welcome back. This is Pastor Thomas from Holiday Community Fellowship Church as we continue our study in the book of Revelation. As you know, we've already started into chapter 1. We've actually read verses 1 through 6, and today we're going to be looking at verses 7 and 8 of chapter 1. In so doing, it's going to talk more about the theme of the book of Revelation in general. But before we do that, let's have a prayer. Father God, we pray that your Spirit would inspire us, would equip us, and give us the knowledge and discernment to understand what it is that you would speak to us through these precious words from the book of Revelation. We have already started our journey, and we are endeavoring to go deeper and deeper into what you have called the apocalyptic book, the unveiling and of Jesus Christ. So Lord, give us discernment as we move forward, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are worthy. In Jesus Christ's special and precious name we pray, amen and amen. We have already spoken about the passages in Revelation of chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And I want to read those just so we have some idea of what we've read thus far. And if you have your Bible, please take that and turn to chapter 1 of Revelation, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 6. So if you have your book and ready to follow along, this is the word of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant, John. Verse 2. Who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And finally, verse 6. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we have discussed those first few verses of Scripture, we talked about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling or the revealing of Jesus Christ. And now we're going to move into what is called the thematic part of this passage of Scripture. And this will entail chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. So let us begin by reading verse 7 and 8 of chapter 1. Verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. May he add a blessing unto us as we endeavor to learn more about the thematic part of Scripture as related in the book of Revelation. Here is the focal point of all human history, the single event toward which all human events and heavenly events are moving. So everything has its being in the prophecy of this book. The theme of the book of Revelation is the return of Jesus Christ. To what purpose? To defeat all evil and to establish his reign. God's will for his son is to return, defeating all the evil that we are faced with today, and to set up his earthly reign. One day, Jesus will appear in all his glory, as been outlined in verse 7 and 8. His coming will have planet-wide impact. So it won't just be something that the church will see, but it'll be every human being on the face of the earth. It will have an impact on the entire earth. The passage of Scripture says that every eye will see him. Every eye. There'll not be an eye. Even those who are blind today, people say, how about those who are blind or never been able to see? They will see him because he says every eye will see him. No one will miss this spectacular event. There's no one going to escape this event. Some people say, well, I don't want to see Jesus. Well, it's not going to be up to you. It's going to be up to the sovereign Lord. And believe me, you will see him. And you may not want to see him, but you will see him. Chapter 24 of Matthew, if you have your Bible and you want to turn there, or just write this down and look at it later, but chapter 24 of Matthew kind of reiterates that they will see this event. Chapter 24, verse 30 reads like this. Matthew 24, verse 30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They're not going to be happy. They're going to mourn. Why? Because they have turned away from God. They've turned away from his son. They will mourn because when they see him, they'll know that everything that they've turned from has been a lie and a deception to them. So they will mourn and they will see the coming. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. That tells me, and it should tell us, that he's not going to return as some helpless child in a manger somewhere. He's going to return with power. That means he's going to have control over every single thing. And he's going to have not only power, but he's going to return in great glory. In other words, his presence will overwhelm us. So, you know, that particular passage, also if you turn to 2 Thessalonians, there is a good passage of scripture in there that mentions pretty much the same. It's got the same theme to it. So let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, if you will, please. It's, let's see, 2 Thessalonians. It's just past Philippians, or Colossians, I mean. So 2 Thessalonians, look at chapter 2 and listen to verse 8. What it says. Verse 8 says, then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. So it reaffirms to us, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, that he is coming. When that day happens, it will be an unmistakable event. You won't be able to say, guess, or anything. You will know. And that even the Jews will recognize him, even those who pierced him. Do you know there was people that was responsible for his death, and they're going to recognize him when he comes again? It is important that we understand that, because that gives us hope that he is still sovereign and in control. But if we turn to the Old Testament account in Zechariah, the 12th chapter, so if you have scripture and you want to turn to Zechariah, the 12th chapter, we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. Zechariah, 12th chapter, verses 10 and 11 read as such. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So we can see that here that even the Jews are going to recognize the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced. That's where a lot of the mourning is going to come in, is when they realize that they have pierced the Messiah. And they will mourn for him as one who mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. In that day, verse 11, in that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. So there's going to be great mourning in that day when Jesus returns and the Jews finally realize that they have erred in their interpretation of even the Old Testament. All the peoples of the earth will mourn. That's an interesting concept. But all the peoples, just think about it. We are kind of in a day of mourning now, with the things that's going on with surrounding this COVID-19 virus. We do not understand what's going on, and there's a type of oppression upon us. And that oppression has caused us to mourn in particular ways. But all the people of the earth will mourn when Jesus returns, knowing that the Messiah has already visited the earth once before. They will realize that when Jesus was here, they have made a mistake in denying him, that he was despised of men. He was despised by the world, and he still is. He was rejected by the world at that time, and he still is. Even his own people, the Jewish people, despised him and rejected him. And they not only did that, they also crucified him. Excuse me. Do not confuse this coming with Jesus' return for his church. It's not one and the same, so we need to differentiate that there. When he comes for his church, he will come as a thief in the night, and only those born again will see him. Only those like myself and you who have given your lives to Jesus Christ, repented of your sin, and received him, they'll be the only ones that will see him. When he comes for his church, the rest of the world, the unbelieving world, will not see him. Only those who know him will hear him and see him. The event described in Revelation, going back to, you know, our study in Revelation, going back to Revelation chapter 1 again. Look at this. Look at what we've done read already. But look at the verse 7 again of Revelation. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. When he comes for his church, he will come as a thief in the night, and only those born again will see him. The events described in Revelation verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 7, will be witnessed by the whole earth, as I've already mentioned. It will be a public, revealing. It will not be in secret. There will be no secrets with the Lord. There is no secrets with the Lord. And Revelation should remind us that there is no secrets, because he's revealing himself in total. It will be the climax of the tribulation period described in Revelation chapters 6 through 19. So that tribulation period, if you want to know and read, we're going to get to that eventually, but that's going to be looked at in chapters 6 through 19 of Revelation. The church will not go through the tribulation. A lot of people ask, why do you think the church is going to escape the tribulation? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of passages of scripture that you can study for yourself. And the first one is going to be Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. So if you want to turn with me there, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 gives us these words, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world in test, those who dwell on the earth." Verse 11, "I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown." So he is telling us that he is coming for his church. We're going to turn back to 1 Thessalonians this time. If you've got your word there and you want to turn there, go to 1 Thessalonians, which is right here. 1 Thessalonians, right after Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 10. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 gives us these precious words. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." He's telling us that we're not going to have to go through this wrath, this testing that's coming upon the world. Also, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and beginning in verse 9, and reading verse 10 as well, verse 9 gives us these words, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 10, "Who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him." In other words, when they talk about sleep here, someone that's died on the earth and but has been born again. So whether we're asleep or we're alive like we are today, he will rescue us from the wrath that is destined for the earth. Also, if you turn to 2 Thessalonians, we'll get some more encouragement along that area. 2 Thessalonians, and look at chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 3 through 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Verse 3, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." Verse 4, "Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God." Verse 5, "Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things?" Verse 6, "And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed." Verse 7, very important, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." So eventually he is going to be taking the lawless one out of our way. Praise be to God. As we continue on in the thematic approach to Revelation, we look at the titles given to God, which make it clear he is able to bring all this about. God is able to bring all this to pass, and he talks about that often in Scripture. First, we have read early, you know, in verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, that God is, Christ is the Alpha, the Omega. The first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet are Alpha and Omega. And this symbolizes the beginning and the end of all things. In other words, for us in our human existence, there's nothing before Alpha and there's nothing after Alpha. And here, he is everything in between. But for those who know Jesus Christ, been born again, he has given us everything beyond that, eternal life. He is also the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is the Almighty God. Well, I think we'll bring this to a close today. It's a good stopping point, and don't want to overwhelm too much, but I pray that you are gleaning some insight from this, and I hope that you'll go back and read these passages of Scripture. We've already read chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And prayerfully go back through those and read those. The next time we come together, we're going to be looking at Revelation as it gives or describes for us a vision of Christ. And that will entail chapter 1, verses 9 through 16, if you want to prepare for those moments. In the meantime, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for these moments you've given us together to give us insight into the book of Revelation, the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. I thank you for those who will listen. I pray, Lord, that you give them ears to hear, and Lord, give them wisdom to understand and to move forward in the world in which we live as we anxiously await for that day of your appearing. We praise you, we love you, we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.